This is Scott Mitchell. We had a little hiccup again. We're slowly getting there to where we need to be. I want to welcome everyone again to the radio program here on WBRO, WBRO 89.9. With our talk show, we do a show that's called Let the Bible Speak. So if you haven't been here before, I'm Scott Mitchell. I work with the Bethel Church just down the road here, about 3 miles, and been there just barely over a year, and are just trying to get back to the Bible and reading it and seeing what it says and doing the things it says to do, and just kind of being honest with the scriptures. And then this radio program came up, and so we've been doing this for a little bit now, but about 13 or 14 weeks or something like that. And we've been very blessed. And so last week we talked about attributes of God. Excuse Theron there. He's adjusting the volume. And trying to help people understand that God is more than just a big ball of love or a big ball of vengeance or a big, you know, whatever. Because people tend to act like, people will worship God based on, or think about God based on the image you have of him. And we're going to talk about how bad sin is this morning. I'm going to let our guest introduce himself in a moment. But I think that idea of people just kind of passively treating sin as nothing to be dealt with, nothing to worry about, goes back to this idea of God being love and forgetting everybody, and it doesn't matter if they have any concept of God at all. So won't you go and introduce yourself and tell us where you've been the last few years and what you've been doing, and then we'll get started, Randy. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Rusty Smith.
Call him Randy. Did you hear that?
Don't say Randy.
Given name's Russell Smith, but everybody calls me Rusty, so I feel comfortable with that. I've been a member of the church practically all my life. In fact, the first sermon I ever preached was in, I was stationed in the Army in Heidelberg, Germany, and I was 18 years old, and I gave my first sermon then. I've been preaching off and on for over 50 years now, so I have a little bit of background, but...
We have a total combined preaching experience of 51 years.
All right.
So that's pretty good.
So we're doing pretty good. And the reason I'd like to look at this topic concerning how bad sin is, like Scott said, there's so many people in the world think that, well, sin is no big deal. In fact, they say, well, nobody's perfect. We all can't be perfect. God made me the way that I am. I do these things because that's just what comes naturally to me, and everybody else does these things. And we just have a whole array of excuses. And one thing that I've heard people say is, well, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. So that covers the whole spectrum here, that God will cover everything. He loves everybody. There's nothing really I need to do.
Need to read a couple more verses under there.
Right. Exactly right.
Oh, by the way, this is a call-in show, so if you're interested in calling in and making a comment, a correction, or just wanting to ask a question or whatever, wait a minute.
Do we have a phone?
I don't see a phone.
Where's the phone?
Here's what you can do if you want to call, though. You can't call my cell phone. We're using it for Facebook Live. Forget what I said about the phone. We don't have one yet. I'm sorry. Normally, I would say the phone number now, but Theron is just looking around puzzled.
Now, if they go to the Facebook Live feed, they can post a question. They post a comment. Yeah. We'll actually see it as we monitor the video.
So if you didn't hear that, you can go to the Facebook Live feed and post a question. We can see it on the phone. If we see it pop up, Theron can find that for us. But anyway, let's go ahead. I keep forgetting. And we got to start doing that. I keep forgetting to pray before this show, Theron. I don't know how that gets away from me.
Right. We get busy.
We have in our minds already asked God to be with us, and that we don't want to do or say anything or take anything out of context or say anything that is contrary to what God's Word says. And so if you catch us in something, if we pull something out of context, call us up and tell us, let us know. I don't want to do that in any shape, form, or fashion. This is way too important. And this topic is way too important to do that with. So, Rusty, what do you want to start with? I mean, I had about 5 different aspects of, you know, I was thinking last night, sitting around the table asking my wife and kids, what are the worst things about sin? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, the first thing was separates us from God.
Exactly.
And the second one was it brings temporary pleasure.
Right.
And the third one was, Faith Harris said it's the opposite of what we're designed for.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting. And it always has a negative consequence.
Right.
And it crucifies Jesus again. Now, I don't know where you, those are the kind of the things I was thinking about. So I'm just kind of curious what your notes have on them. We'll just kind of compare thoughts. Okay. So go ahead and get started.
One thing I wanted to kind of wrap up on these common excuses, I call them, and say why. Yep. You know, we all sin, we all do these things, and use John 3:16. I happen to think over in Matthew chapter 7, I like to read those verses. If you have your Bible, if you're out in the listening area, have your Bible, if you would just open it up to Matthew chapter 7. I like to look at verses 21 and through 23. And mm-hmm. if you don't have your Bible with you, you want to just write that down on a piece of paper. You haven't had yep. a pencil and paper. This is a very important verse for us to consider, because like I say, so many people in the world think that God loves all of humanity, which he does.
And he does.
And he wants us all to be saved, which he does.
And he does.
But there are conditions that we as human beings must match that God wants us yep. to complete for us to have that relationship with him.
Yep.
And Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 7, and beginning in verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' Mm-hmm. And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Mm-hmm. So Jesus Christ is speaking and saying, just because you call me Lord, and just because you acknowledge me and my Father and the Holy Spirit, there's more that we have to do on our yeah. part for our salvation to take place. And so Jesus is saying, we may come up short on the day of judgment and think, well, everything was fine, mm-hmm. but if we didn't do the commands that the Father has dictated yep. that we do, then I will be lost.
Yep. Now, let me, people will say that God can be unfair, we'll say, and that he's asking too much of us sometimes, or, you know, well, if he loves us, why does it matter? So what gives God, and I'm this is kind of just something that people, I've heard people talk about, just kind of came to me. It's one of those things I told you might happen. What do we say to people who say, well, that's not fair? I mean, what gives God the right to demand such things? Have you had to deal with that in this discussion with people?
I've not really dealt with that a whole lot, but just from a logical standpoint, mm-hmm. to look at, God is the creator. He's made the world. He's mm-hmm. made us in his image. And because God is the creator and he's the supreme, then we are under obligation to serve
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
In fact, concerning sin itself, I saw in your notes a moment ago, but I also had it down too. Sin is something that separates us from God. As you mentioned, sin, by definition, it's a voluntary departure of rules or moral obligations that God has asked us as mm-hmm. his people to complete.
Yeah.
Sin can be either, we call it commission or omission. In other words, in God's word, if you read the Bible says, you shall not do this, you cannot do this. But it also says, you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm a Christian and I'm doing what the Bible tells me to do, there's things I should not do, but there's things that I should do.
Yeah.
And on either direction there, if I decide on my own free moral agency, I don't want to do that,
mm-hmm.
then I've gone contrary to the scripture.
Yeah.
And of course, if a lot of people may not know the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 yeah. tells us that all scripture is given of God. God breathed that out. He gave it to the apostles yep. and the writers of the Bible. God breathed that word out so that we can have the information yeah. that we need to do what pleases him, what he yeah. expects us to do. So the Bible is just a rule book or standard for us to follow. So
yeah.
God, in his love and mercy, has given us a book that we can, if you want yeah. to have the cheat sheet, if you
yeah.
want to look at that.
Well, the Cliff Notes for Life.
That's yeah. right. We've got the Cliff Notes for Life where we can follow the rules. God says, if yeah. you do these things, you can have heaven. Yeah. If you disobey, you won't have
yeah.
heaven. So, you know, God made us. He keeps us moving and living and breathing every moment of the day, our heartbeat, our breath. God is in control of everything about you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So why isn't it right for him to yeah. demand things?
And that's right. You know, and he's what he's done for us to show his love and to help us get to heaven. You know, you mentioned John 3:16. He did send his son.
Right.
And his son did suffer a terrible thing. And it's not a question of if he did that. We know for sure he did that.
Right.
Historically, we can go outside the Bible and see that.
Right.
The resurrection is the big deal, but we don't have, you know, that's a different discussion. But
mm-hmm.
He's done everything he can to still leave it up to us to get
sure.
to heaven. And we've talked about free will and those things before. And so for us to say, well, God's not fair, that's really, we're stepping outside the realm of what we ought to be doing, because he's done, you know, Ephesians 1:3, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He poured heaven out on top of us to try to help us get there. And so for us to say, well, I like that part but don't like this part, it spits in his face. And we just can't do that if we're going to follow him the way we're supposed to. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of cover that, because somebody may be listening and say, well, you know, that may be, but God's not, God is fair. He's never been unfair. That no one ever gets injustice from God. And so we just have to be willing to trust and do what he wants us to do. So let's go on with your notes, and I'll leave you alone.
And Romans 3 tells us, yep. Romans 3 and verse 23 says that, yep, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the word all means all. Somebody every asked time. A preacher one time, what does the Greek word for all mean? And the definition was all. Everybody has sinned. Yep. And in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, Isaiah, of course, an Old Testament prophet, says this. He says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Yep. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So you see, if we've all sinned, and that's what the scripture says, yep, we all do things either incorrectly, we've done things of commission we shouldn't do, or we haven't done things that we should have. Yeah. All have sinned, and so God, being perfect, cannot tolerate sin.
No.
He will not be where sin is. And so Isaiah, when he was writing to the people of old, back in Isaiah in this chapter 59, he's telling them,
yeah,
God is not a God that can't help you. It's just the fact that you have sin in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not willing to bring your life in compliance to the Lord's will.
Yep.
But if you would just do that, God would hear your prayer and take care of your, yep, your problems. But you've decided, no, I want to do what I want to do. And when they made that decision, when I make that decision, that Rusty wants to do what he wants to do, guess what? Then I'm contrary to God's will. Yeah. If I blatantly, yeah, just decide, no, I don't want to do that today. I want to go ahead and tell a lie. I, yeah, want to go ahead and cheat on my wife today because that's something I'd like to do today. Well, then guess what?
Because it's not that big a deal, right?
That's right. As far as I'm concerned.
No one else is going to know.
Yeah, and God loves me. He's going to save us all in. Yeah. And that's what a lot of people in the world, yep, figure. But again, from what Scripture says, we can see here plainly that God says, no, when you violate my law, then, yep, you bring a separation, yeah, between you and me.
We started the show last week with things. The reason I want to talk about the attributes of God was because of four things that people say. One of those is, well, doesn't God love everybody? In other words, well, if he loves me, why do I need to change? The other one is, well, doesn't God forgive everybody? Right. He will.
That's right.
And so those are two things I think it's blatantly clear that they don't understand who God is to say something like that. And that's why it's important to cover this, right, this topic, because, mm-hmm, people don't. Now, I did have Isaiah 59:1-2 on my notes, which is, that's cool. Do you think, in terms of that separation from God, do you think when Jesus was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you think it has something to do with that idea of him being covered with our sins and being separated from God when he took all of our sin on?
Definitely, because Christ being the Son of God, you stop and think the magnitude of the love of God,
mm-hmm,
and for us as human beings to go, the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. In fact, the Scripture says before the world was ever framed,
mm-hmm,
the plan was made that the Son of God would come into this world and save us from our sins. That's the great magnanimous knowledge of God. God knew us from the beginning,
yep,
that human beings would sin. So,
yep,
what's the solution? So he sent his Son, being God, you think being in heaven eternally,
mm-hmm,
and now you have to drop down in the flesh and walk on this old, mm-hmm, world where sin is.
Yep.
And then sin is so bad, and that's why I wanted to bring up this topic and discuss today. Sin was so terrible and horrendous that the,
yep,
Son of God paid the price of being crucified upon a cross, people laughing and mocking him. In fact, there's some texts that we could,
yeah,
we may refer to a little bit later on, mocking him. And as we've already said in Isaiah 59, God says, I turn my face away from those, mm-hmm, who have sinned. They separate themselves from me. So when Jesus, the Son of God, took the sins of the whole world upon himself,
yeah,
what other option did the Father have but to turn his back away from the being that had sin accounted to him?
Yeah.
Not that he had sinned himself,
yeah,
but he had the sins of everybody in the world before him and everybody that's going to, yeah, be in the world after his death placed upon him that he might be the ultimate lamb or sacrifice to God. Yeah.
And it's that very act. Now, people talk about God's grace and mercy. It's that very act that allows God's grace and mercy, because his vengeance was poured out on Jesus.
Right.
It appeased him, and in fact, we're told it was, again, using God's plan to do that, so he could show us grace and mercy.
Right.
And so it's through that very act that people kind of scoff at that we get the love and the grace and mercy from God that we don't even deserve. And I heard somebody define grace and mercy. Grace is not getting what you do deserve.
Right.
Mercy is getting what you don't deserve, which is what God gives us when he gives us heaven. And so we don't need to be questioning whether or not we need to follow God's plan. We just have to trust.
That's exactly right. And another thing I want to bring up about concerning God being so magnificent and everywhere, Proverbs 15 and verse 3 says that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And I think sometimes people think, well, you know, because I can hide from you as an individual, well, I can do the same thing with God. But that's not so. The proverb says that God is everywhere and every place, looking at everything going on in the world at the same time. And our mind is boggled by the idea that God can see every human being in this world, every moment of the day, you know, every thought and every intent that you make. That's the great God that is in charge of us. And if you stop and think of that, then why would I not want to know what his will is for me so that I can please a God that is looking at me 24/7 and even knows what I'm thinking before I put the plan into motion? And that's, it's just such an overwhelming thing for the human mind that we get stuck into the humanity side that this seems logical to me. But that's not the logic of God, and that's why it's important for us to use his word that he's so graciously given us so we can know what he wants and we can do what he's asked us to do so that we can have that right relationship with him and have beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven can be ours when this life is over with.
And we talked a little bit before too, you just mentioned he knows all those things. And people will say, well, I've had people say this, well, if God, if there is a God and he knows all, why does he let these things happen? Why does he? But you know, then we got to get into a discussion of free will. He created us with that. God does. There's a difference between foreknowledge and foreordainment.
Right.
I mean, and that we talked about that. But we have to understand when we're talking about with the effects of sin on this world. Bad things happen to everybody. If God just blessed the good people, there would be no faith left. It would everybody would know. Well, we got to be a Christian because God. You know, that's not the way God set this world in motion. And so sin brought on some really bad things we got to deal with. And it is terrible. And it did, we do, there are consequences to sin. But God's given us what we need through his word to understand and cope. And then we just have to, I want people to understand, yeah, he does know, but he doesn't cause it.
Right.
And he does allow it because he set this world in motion. He has to let us choose, or he's not the God he claims to be in the Bible.
That's correct. We're all free moral agents, and you can go from the very beginning of time, go back to the Genesis account when God created Adam and Eve. They had free will. God gave a stipulation, you can eat of all the trees of the garden except this one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the devil, in fact in John chapter 8, Jesus describes the devil as the father of lies.
Yes.
He's the one that lies to us all the time. He's the one that says, well, Rusty, you know, that wouldn't be so bad. And after all, God will forgive you if you just go ahead and tell him after you commit the sin, it's okay. And so we get into this vicious cycle. We'll go ahead and sin and say, okay, now, all I have to do is ask God to forgive me, and he'll forgive it because he's loving and merciful.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can fall back and do it again and go through this cycle.
And that goes to intent. There's a difference between, and I, not that sin ever kind of sneaks up on us, but I don't think everybody that sins intends to sin.
Right.
If you intend to go on sinning and intend it, that goes to the heart.
Right.
And not understanding again who God is. God does love us all. He does want us all. He does want us all to come to repentance. We talk about that too, but it has to be on his terms, and that's the part people don't understand. There are conditions to meeting what God wants us to be.
Right.
And people don't, I think people have heard this lie so much. Yeah, God, you know, faith, it all takes is a little bit of faith. Faith was raised in a church where they were told if they just had a little bit of faith, that's all I really needed to be saved. They didn't have to go to church, didn't have to do anything. Just believe that God is and you're saved. Where does it ever say that in the Bible? And so, but there's just such a misconception of this big fat lie everybody's believing. We've got to help people, and that's why we're doing this, to help people understand that sin is terrible.
And another issue is talking about that, the idea, you go through the Old Testament history, you don't have time obviously to go through all that today, but throughout the history of the people that God chose to be his people, they continuously would rebel against him, and through grace and mercy when Moses was leading, Moses would ask God to go ahead and mm-hmm. repent and not destroy him, and God in his mercy would not. But time and again, they would sin and come back to God, and sin and come back to God. And finally, God said, I'm not going to listen to your cries anymore. Mm-hmm. I will take you, let you go into captivity. And he allowed that to happen, because you cannot just keep playing the game over and over with God and think that he's going to go ahead and accept that, and there's not going to be some type of repercussion. Yep. So it's important for us to realize that we're going to receive wages for the sins that we commit. In fact, I had a couple of verses for us sure. to consider that. In Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. And I like this, and the rest of the verse says, but the free gift of God is yep. eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so you look at the idea, if I'm not commit sin, I'm earning something.
Yeah.
I'm earning my loss to be away from yeah. God. Yeah. But God's grace and mercy through his Son is that I can have eternal life. And so you look at it from that perspective. And then in Galatians chapter 6, yeah. verse 7 and 8, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows.
Yep.
Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, and that's talking about the Holy Spirit yep. of God, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So you see, we have a choice to make. If I decide whether it's willful or not willful, once I recognize that I'm in sin,
yep.
Isaiah 59 that says that separates me from God. So the moment I recognize I have sin in my life, guess what? I recognize I've separated myself from God. Now what am I going to do?
And there, I think that brings up another problem of shame and guilt. And no, people don't know what to do with it. And so what we see in people's lives when they get shame is they try to cover it up. They will either mask it with, like it doesn't matter. They bury it in drugs and alcohol, food, whatever it is. They try to mask that shame to try to deal with it, but they don't know how, because they don't know who God is.
Right.
They've got guilt and shame, but don't know what to do with it, don't know why it's even there. Hmm. And that brings up another whole problem of how people deal with it. But God tells us, it's not impossible, but they don't know what to do. So let's say there's somebody out there, somebody gives this CD to somebody, or somebody happens to be listening, and they're living in sin right now, and they've got all this shame piled up on them, and they don't know what to do. What do they need to do? Let's make it really simple for them. What do they need to do?
Any person that is in sin needs to first of all recognize that Jesus Christ died and shed his blood that your sins might be forgiven.
Yep.
So how do we get to where that blood of Jesus Christ will get that sin out of my life? That's the question all of us yep. need to know. If I know that sin is against me, and I know that I need to get the sin out of my life, what's the solution? Well, that's why Christ came in the world, that his blood, that John 3:16, he came to the world, he loved us that we might have the hope of heaven. But how do I contact that blood? If the blood cleanses, what the scripture says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So if the blood cleanses me, how do I reach that? Christ has been resurrected from the dead for over 2,000 years. How do I get to his blood
mm-hmm. yep.
that the scripture says will take care of my sin? What do we do?
Well, Galatians 3:27, if you want to get into Christ, you got to be baptized into Christ.
That's exactly right. It says many have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
And Romans 6:1-5 are great verses to go to too. But I want people to understand there is a solution to the problem.
Right.
There is not a sin big enough. There's not a big enough pile of sins to make God not want us back.
And to ignore sin and say, well, yeah. as time goes by, maybe God will forget about it because yeah. he doesn't.
Yeah. And I don't want to distract you from your notes, I know, but I just want people out there to know there is a solution to the problem, and it's not as big as what we want to try. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a big deal what God did for us.
Mm-hmm.
That price on the cross was paid, so all we've got to do is read the word and respond to what the proper response to what God's done for us is just obey his word.
Right.
It's really simple. But people pile on and they want, well, God doesn't want me. God couldn't love me. Yes, he does, and yes, he can.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to be willing to trust what he says. So anyway, I know you turned. Did you turn to Romans or did what?
Yeah, I turned to Romans 6 because, like I said, you were talking about, and that's a good passage to look at as far as concerning baptism. I think so many times people think, particularly people that we call the Church of Christ people,
yeah.
if we can just get you dumped under the water now, well, that's all you're looking for. No, baptism is really a great thing. It's a simple solution if we have a repentant heart to get away from sin, of course, yes. The scripture also says, I need to repent of what I've done in the past. I need to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Jesus yes. said in Mark 16:16, if you believe and are baptized, your sins will be remitted. Mm-hmm. That's the Son of God speaking there. In Romans 6, Paul is speaking there, and he previously said in chapter 5, that in verse 20, it said, wherever the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And so then he concludes in beginning in chapter 6 and verse 1, shall we continue in sin that the grace of God would abound and take care of that problem? Yeah. He says, no, because he says, you've been baptized into the death of Jesus Christ in verse 3, and he says in verse 4, we're buried with him in baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so baptism is just being, as it says in verse 5, for we've been united together in the likeness of his death. So baptism is just a... Water baptism is a form of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel and good news of Christ. Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16 that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ because that is the power of God to save us. And so if we would just submit to these simple actions, I think some people in our society think that's too simple.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. If God had asked me to give $10,000 for the remission of my sins, that might be a little bit more costly to me.
Don't listen to the next televangelist that tells you to do that.
That's right.
However, folks, listen, I don't know, you know, Rusty's he's one of those lifers. Theron and I are not.
We are not.
You know, I didn't even own a Bible till I was 22. My wife bought me one when we graduated from college. And I've still got that Bible. It's kind of falling apart, but I've still got it. So I know what it is to pack that. And everybody, and here's the deal. It doesn't matter if you're a lifer or not. Everybody's got sin to deal with. Once a sin is committed, we're all in the same spot. So if you're out there and you've lived a life of sin and drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever, or all or part of that or whatever it is, and you're no worse off than a lifer, as we call them, people raised in the church, who commit a sin of lying or cheating or looking at a woman in the wrong way. It all separates us. One sin separates us from God. It doesn't take 50 or 100 or whatever you may think you have. One sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter, I was there and I left it. Let me read that. The reason I want to read this is I ran across an article last night. A guy teaching a lie said that sin doesn't really separate us from God. Which I'm thinking, how do you get that? But what he was saying was it doesn't separate us from the love of God. That love of God keeps us with him. Well, it doesn't separate us from his love. He never stops loving us.
No.
But we cannot be in fellowship with him if we're packing sin around
with
us.
That's right.
And what this says is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. If that's not a separation from God, I don't know what is.
And it says those who do not obey the gospel.
Yes.
And so that gospel is the good news that we just spoke of, where that we can, again, willingly submit ourselves to God, be immersed in the waters of baptism, and so in the like manner of Christ's death. And when we come out of the waters of baptism, God has said our sins are gone.
Yeah.
And if we put on the new person and live the life that God prescribes for us from the scriptures.
You know that plan you mentioned, we talked about that. I preached about it. We talked about it last week on the show. You talked about in the very beginning, before creation,
right.
God had to have the conversation with himself.
Mm-hmm.
What if people sin? And what if even those who choose to love me sin? How am I going to have fellowship? He worked the solution out before he ever started the process. And so for us, and this, what we think about, that we think we accomplish a lot in our lives. And this little thing called time that God's put in eternity as a proving ground for us, basically. Mm-hmm. We don't accomplish anything if we don't get to heaven.
That's right.
We don't do a single thing worth doing if we don't get to heaven. God's plan for us, which I've got it in here somewhere, the plans I have for you, it is I know the plans I have for you. I'll find it in a minute. God's plan for us is to spend this life getting to heaven.
Right.
It's not to become the best teacher or the best doctor or the best whatever. And I think it must be the top of the hour because Theron's telling me by law, but I enjoy saying it anyway.
Please
you're do. Listening to WBRO here on 89.9 in beautiful Marengo, Indiana. and we're very blessed to be on this radio station. By law, we have to do that at the top of every hour.
That's going to FCC jail.
Yeah, we don't want to go to jail over that. But anyway, that plan God has for us has nothing to do with how successful we are in this life.
That's exactly right. And you're talking about the idea of sin and violating God's law. I had James chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. James says this, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said you shall not commit adultery also said you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker." And so, you know, I think about that all the time where, you know, we tend to take things and categorize whether it's a big sin or a little sin.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I say, well, I told a little white lie just so I wouldn't hurt somebody's feeling.
Yep.
But yet in Revelation, it says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And so,
how many is all?
All means all. So, I mean, the idea that, well, I can pick and choose. I didn't commit adultery against my wife today, but I went out and was angry with somebody where I shouldn't be. I mean, the scriptures, they're just all kinds of things. Again, God loves us so much and wants us to be like Him. Jesus says that we need to be perfect, even as our His Father is perfect. We need to do the very best that we can to comply with what Scripture tells us to do. It's a lifelong process. I'm not sinlessly perfect. None of us are. But the blood of Jesus Christ, the great wonderful thing about the blood of Jesus Christ is, John says in 1 John that those that are, he's talking to those that are already children of God, that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us again from all unrighteousness. He says, if we say that we haven't sinned, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us, we make God a liar. So it's a lifelong process. Once you become a child of God and initially are immersed in the waters of baptism, you come up clean from sin. But the good old devil, if you, I'm using that loosely, the bad old devil actually, is going to come in from that point forward and try to get you to fail in your attempt to serve God faithfully. And we're going to make mistakes and have sin. But yet that blood of Christ, God again in His great purposeful mind said that the blood of my Son will continually get that sin out of my life. So you see, I don't have to have sin against my account at any point of my life. Mm-hmm. I can recognize that and let that blood of Christ again sweep that away.
Yep.
But again, I've got to repent of that and say, I don't want to do that anymore and try my best not to. So that's a great blessing.
What's that?
Uh-oh. We've got a comment from a viewer. Vicky says, I thank God for meeting us right where we are.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
There's a sermon I'm going to do called X Marks the Spot.
There you go. There's your leader.
Thank you, Vicky. What that means is that God, wherever we are, God's word takes us where we need to be. And when you study Paul and the way he worked with people, he always evaluated the culture when he went in to try to decide where to start with people. And we can't just jump on folks. I mean, when I look back at the patience people had with me, and I've talked about this a lot, when I look back at the way people treated me, waiting on me to move, I'm almost embarrassed it took me so long to move to where I needed to be because they were so patient with me. And they would say little things like, "Hey, Scott, maybe you shouldn't say things like that." Or, you know, "Scott, your shorts, you know, they're riding up a little bit." Kind of, you know, and they were just very patient. And God is far more patient than what they, I mean, they were really patient, but God's patience is far outweighs theirs. And we just have to be willing to accept that. So thank you for that comment. That's excellent. And that, you know, and it's not, again, it's not, when we're talking about God meeting us where we are, I kind of picture God like this. We're walking along, no matter what we're doing, God's right with us. And if we want Him, it's like when my kids would come down in the middle of the night and instead of just saying, "Hey, Dad," you know, they would just get right in your face and wait for you to wake up, you know, kind of thing, and scare the fool out of you. I think that's kind of, God's right there with us. And if we turn around, we run slap into Him. If we just accept Him, He's right there where we are. He never leaves us.
Right.
He wants us with Him.
Right.
And we talked about His omnipresence last week being everywhere. He is. And we have to know who God is. God is vengeful, but that's been paid.
Right.
God is loving,
but that's been paid for the, you know, he can show that because of the cross. God does show mercy because of the cross. He does show grace because of the cross.
Right.
And so he will meet us wherever we are and bring us where we need to be.
Well, you know the story of the old couple in the pickup truck.
Yes.
You've heard that one.
Oh,
you
want to
tell
that
one? Because that's a good
story. Fred, you mean old Fred? Well, I can. I heard the first time I heard it from Wilson Adams. Said this old couple was going down the road in the pickup truck, and she was sitting over by the window, and he was just driving along, and she's like, Fred, whatever happened to us? Fred, you know, I used to sit right beside you, have your arm around me. We've been going down the road. We'd talk to each other. What happened to us, Fred? And he's trucking along, and he just listens for a while, and he says, well, I never moved. God doesn't move either.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's the point of that.
Yeah.
She moved. We move away from God. God never moves away from us. And so anyway, that's a digression from where your notes, I'm sure. But
oh, no.
It's important that people understand he is vengeful. He is loving. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is, but he's all those things at one time. Mm-hmm. We can't put him over here and say, well, God loves us so much that no matter what we do, I'm okay. That's not God. Mm-hmm. That is what I've committed so much sin that God can't want me. That's not God.
No.
And so we have to understand those things. I had a lady ask me one time, her son was killed in a car wreck. She came to me in my classroom and sat down crying. She said, God, Scott, is God punishing me for something I've done by killing my son? God, that's not God.
No, no.
That's not God. And so we have to, but people, the way they look at him, the way they see him, the way whatever concept of God they have determines how they behave, and we've got to get a bigger picture of who God is,
right.
And that's why, and again, that's why we're trying to do this.
Anyway. And I was thinking, again, you were talking about that, and you know, people think they're so bad, and they can, and God will never forgive them. But I, as you were saying that, I was thinking sometimes those of us that are Christians think that we're so good, that you know, we sweep it to the other side, to the far right, and think, well, you know, look at all these good works I've done, so therefore I've earned my salvation.
Yeah, I've checked my boxes.
And I was just thinking, I had a verse down here in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, and Isaiah says this, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf and like the wind. Our sins sweep us away. So you see, all the good works I do cannot get rid of the sin. You know, I think some people, the logic of some people in the world is, okay, I committed this sin over here.
Yep.
So I'll do 10 good works.
Yep.
And the 10 good works, God will look at, say, the 10 good, and there's only one bad, so, I've got 10 versus 1, and that makes a difference. That isn't the way God works that, and that's why we have to have that blood of Christ to cleanse that any sin away.
And it's not going to be on Judgment Day, and we've talked about this, too. God is not going to be standing in front of each one of us with a clipboard checking boxes. Well, you did this, you didn't do this, you did this, you didn't do this. He's going to look at us. And if we look like Jesus, he's going to say, you're in. And if we don't, he's going to say, you're not. It's about spending every day, like you said, every day. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me. It's about a transformation every day of being who we're supposed to be. Right. It's not checking a box. Right. It's not showing up and filling your assigned pew every Sunday. It's not that. It's a daily effort to be what God wants us to be. And we are going to make mistakes. We are going to sin. But God gives us chances to make that up. Through the cross, we can ask for repentance. We can go to get him to repent and ask God for forgiveness, and he does. Unless God's word is wrong and he's a liar, and I don't think it is.
No.
That's what God's word, you know, if God says, I want all men to come to repentance, that's what he wants. Because like you, 2 Timothy, if all inspired, we got to believe all of it, not part of it. So anyway, that's again digression from your notes, but I get excited.
That's
sometimes.
A lot of too. And God, and the whole thing is God wants me.
Yes.
Yeah. He doesn't want the process.
No.
We find the Old Testament. I was just reading in my private Bible study where God said, in fact, in our class at Eastland just the other night from Isaiah, basically the people are worshiping these false gods. Yet they come to Jehovah God and expect Jehovah God to hear them because I'm one of God's people.
Yeah.
I'm not acting like God's people, but I'm one of God's people in name. And so therefore, God should just go ahead and overlook these things that I'm doing intentionally against him. So you see, God wants me.
And God says, I'm tired of your sacrifices. Over, yep. I was also studying in the book of Jeremiah. God says, I'm fed up with your sacrifices. I don't need your sacrifices. Yep. You can bring all these animals to me. You can pour out their blood and go through the motion of what I've asked you to do. But guess yep. what? You're just giving me the animal, and you're not giving me yep. you.
Which reminds me of Psalm 51.
Right.
When David said, a broken and contrite heart.
Right.
Now, he said, I'll make the sacrifices. But David pours his heart out. God said, a broken and contrite heart is what you want. That's what God wants from us. We can never stop looking at ourselves as sinners saved by the grace of God. When we get this, I'm checking my box attitude, we're no better off than anybody else. And so we got to be careful with that. But I appreciate you bringing that up.
That's right. And we've been talking about the idea, I'm probably kind of play the idea of animal sacrifices mm-hmm. and all. And if you go over to Hebrews chapter 10, and look at I go back to Hebrews 10 verses 1 through 4. I'll just read what it says there. It says, the law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship.
Yeah.
Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are on an annual reminder of sins. In Hebrews 10 verse 4 says this, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And so God recognized animals are not the solution. It took the blood of his son. That's why we're talking about how bad is sin. Sin was so bad the Son of God had to come here, take on flesh,
yes.
be cruelly beaten and flogged. In fact, I've got several verses here that yep. we can refer to maybe in a few minutes that talks about the crucifixion and the great agony the Son of God went through that we might have our sins cleansed. You were talking about a few minutes ago when we stand before God in judgment.
Yep.
Jesus Christ said in the scriptures that the Father has appointed him to be the judge over all the earth. And so when I stand before, on judgment day, I will be standing before Jesus, the Son of God.
Yep.
I won't be able to say, well, you know, Jesus, you never were on earth. You were God in heaven.
And you never
came to earth and didn't understand anything about me. I was talking to Taryn the other night. I said,
who's Taryn?
This guy
was Theron. I thought you said that. I'm sorry. Like Theron. Okay, go ahead.
But anyway, Theron, yeah. Anyway, I mentioned sorry about that. Yeah. But anyway, I mentioned the fact that, did you think about why Jesus came into the world as a baby rather than as a full-grown man?
Yeah.
He could have come to this world as a full-grown mm-hmm. man and started his mission preaching the word that God wanted to preach. But you know what? Had he done that, he would not have been tempted in all points like you and I are. He had to go from baby. He had to go through teenagers. I don't know if a teenager alive that doesn't think, well, you know, mom and dad are dumb. They don't yep. understand all the things that I'm trying to do. And Jesus became a teenager.
Yep.
He had to deal with all the things teenagers go through with. He went through everything from being a baby to being adult, the same temptations we go through. Yep. And that's why it says he was tempted in all points. Yep. As we were, yet without sin. And so guess what? When I stand before him in the day of judgment, I can't say, well, you know, Jesus, you were on earth. You were never human.
Yep.
You never went through the temptations I had to go yep. through. Yeah. We won't be able to use that excuse. And so it's important yep. that we let that blood of Christ yep. cleanse that sin.
Now, don't let that scare you to a point. But he also said, it's my word that's going to judge you.
Exactly.
And so he's given us his word.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the notes for the test. It's an open book test.
That's right.
It's open book.
It is.
And so when we go before Jesus, we don't need to make excuses.
Right.
And we can't say we didn't. Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right.
We can't say those things. And so he's given us what we need. And it's not this unfair situation. It is, he's given us every single thing we need to get out of this mess we've created. You know, you mentioned the Old Testament sacrifices. You want an image of how ugly sin is? Try to picture the animal sacrifices.
Right.
And they would take that blood and sprinkle it on the on everything mm-hmm. and everybody and smear that blood everywhere. And you know, if you've ever been around a butcher house and know the smells and the odors and all, it's a terrible, it just is. I don't know how, I guess people get used to that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But you go back to when Hezekiah reinstituted worship and they sacrificed thousands of animals in a day, the amount of blood it took for God to appease God's that didn't do it. As ugly, but that's a picture of how ugly sin is. All that blood and all that killing, that's how ugly sin is to God.
Right.
And we can't pass over it like it doesn't mean something.
Right.
because it does. And it does, every one of them affects us, and we have to be aware of that. But anyway, that's a different, again, diversion. But
that's okay. But like I said, it's just a good discussion for us to have. And we're talking about over in John chapter 12, verses 47 and 40, where Jesus says, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world."
Yep.
That's what the Lord wants to do. But look what he says in verse 48. "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him." What's that? "The words that I have spoken will judge him in the last day."
Yep.
Like you said, we've got the open book test. And Jesus, again, in the Great Commission, and the very last part of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, he tells the apostles to go into the world and make disciples and teach them the words that I've commanded you.
Yep.
And he said he would be with them to the end of the age. So guess what? The apostles taught people who in turn taught people, and we're up to our generation we're living today, and we're still trying to teach people.
Yep.
And as long as God lets the world stand, that law still applies that Jesus made back in Matthew chapter 20. We preach and teach, and the gospel will save, and preach and teach and save. And the whole world can be saved, and yet Jesus says, I don't want anybody to be lost.
Yep. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 is what,
right.
That's the plan. We teach people,
right.
So they can teach people, so they can teach people.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's so easy in some respect, but we make it. I guess on paper it looks easy, and then you throw people in,
right.
And it just all gets complicated.
Oh, we really do.
And so, we overthink it so much.
Right.
It's just not that complicated.
And I'm not going to read all these passages, but I thought if the audience wants to maybe write these passages down concerning the enormity of the death of Jesus Christ, just to look what he went through on the cross. I mean, it brings tears to my eyes to think that a human being had to go through what he did. And yet this is the sinless Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Taking my sins, I should have been there where he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he took that for me that I wouldn't have to put up with that, and my sins can be forgiven. In John chapter 19 and verse 1, it talks about that they went and flogged Jesus, mm-hmm. with this translation. So they took, you know, and literally beat him into a pulp. And then John 19 verses 2 to 3, they placed a big crown of thorns upon his head and smashed that into his side of his head where he was bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
They spit on him in Matthew chapter 27 verse 30. I'm not going to read all this passage, but in Matthew 27, if you want to just, as the audience, read verses 26 through 47 of Matthew 27, and it'll give you all the horrific things.
Yep.
People mocking the very chief priests of the temple that should have honored and glorified him are laughing and making fun and saying, "Huh, well, if you're the Son of God, come down off the cross and we'll believe you."
That's how ugly sin is.
That's how ugly sin is. And
so, you think about that, you know, I don't know how long it took them that they couldn't drive the nails through the palm of the hand. Because the tissue would rip through the fingers, and it would rip the hand apart, so they had to put the nail on the wrist so that wouldn't happen.
Right.
What a horrible! I mean, that's how ugly sin is.
Right.
That's what we're talking about, and yeah, it's ugly, and yeah, it should make us feel bad. Yeah, it should you know make us there should be guilt there, but God's given us a way out.
Right.
Through that very process, that very ugliness is what exposes us to God's love and mercy and grace.
Right.
You know, Scott, I was just thinking, wouldn't it be great if God gave us a way to remember that maybe once a week? what Christ did for us.
That would
be cool.
Just a weekly remembrance would be good for us.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a good idea?
Like maybe Acts 20 and verse 7 talks about. Maybe he would give us a specific day to do that on. That'd be great.
Maybe like first day of the week.
Anyway.
Right.
And I don't know why you wanted to talk about this, but I got excited about this topic when you said it's what you want to talk about, because it goes right along with what trying to help people understand who God is and what he wants from us and what he's done for us to make sure we can know that. It's just not that complicated, and we've got to quit. Now, we're down to 11 minutes, so what do you...
I thought he said you can go over.
Well, he did say that. So what else do you have?
Well, I didn't have really a whole lot more that... to cover on this, but I did have a couple of points just for us to think about. I call it just for our consideration.
Sure.
And number one, I said that sin should not be lightly considered because it separates us from God, and there is nothing we can do to get rid of that. We've talked about that.
Yep.
There's absolutely nothing on my part I can do to get rid of any sin I've committed in my life. And so that's one reason I want us to talk about this morning. How bad is sin?
Yep.
Sin is so bad that it will cause me to never have the relationship that I can have with God that he wants me to have. He yep. wants all of us to be saved. In fact, in over in Peter, 2 Peter, I believe, it talks about the people were saying, you know, that they were saying the world was going to end and so forth, and well, where's the coming of the Father, and how come this hasn't happened? And Peter says, God's not slow considering his promises, but he says he wants all men everywhere to be saved. Yep. How bad is sin? God will let this old world keep running if there's a hope of somebody repenting,
yep.
coming to his Son, and having their sins washed away by in the blood of Christ. That's the patience and mercy of God. God yep. could wrap this world up any time that he wants to, but he knows that hell is such a horrific place.
Yep.
It's going to be an eternal place. It's just all over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's eternal.
Yep.
And to stop and think that you're going to be in a place of torment eternally, it says, yep. away from the presence of God. You can cry to God in hell for the rest of eternity, but guess what? He's not coming back. He's not going to hear you. Is sin a serious topic?
Yes.
Definitely it is. And so Peter says there in 2 Peter, God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Yep.
No,
that's yeah. that's his great mercy.
That, you know, I heard Harold Comer on a tape. It was probably a 30-year-old tape. My old truck still has a cassette player in it. But he, you know, what he, and I've taught this and I've mentioned this frequently, that he said there's some things people need to do every day to try to keep themselves. The first thing we need to think about when we get up is heaven.
Right.
Just spend a little bit of time thinking about heaven. And the other thing we need to think about is hell. Spend a little bit of time right on the edge of hell on how bad hell really is. And then the other thing is the judgment day, and what's that going to be like? And kind of start your day out that way, and it kind of helps. You know, 5 or 10 seconds is all it really takes of hell for me. I don't want any more than that. But you know, there is something, and it's something that I want people to think about if they're out there and listening, or this goes to get to somebody's hands. And everybody's heard this, but I want people really to consider what this says about sin. My wife last night said, well, there's always a negative consequence to sin. And there is always a negative consequence. And this is the quote, I don't know where it came from, is sin always takes you further than you wanted to go. Now think about where you are in your life. If you're in sin right now, is that where you wanted to be? Sin always takes you further than you wanted to go. It always keeps you longer than you wanted to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it always costs you more than you wanted to pay.
Mm-hmm.
There is never a sin that doesn't do those three things to us. And when you think about being eternal, whether we want to accept it or not, you mentioned eternity. We're headed for eternity. Now, where we spend eternity is up to us. We are eternal beings. With this life does not, when we're dead, we're not dead like Rover and dead all over. It does, the lights don't go out, things don't go dark. We end up in eternity, one place or the other. There isn't a middle ground, folks.
Smoking or non-smoking.
And if, you know, I heard somebody say one time, if you don't want to change, you better get your asbestos suit, because there is about, there. Now, I don't, and that's not, hell is, everybody wants to talk about how great God is, how loving God is, and how gracious God is, and how great heaven is, but it's like they ignore hell. If you believe the Bible, any part, if you believe God, you got to believe in Satan. If you believe in heaven, you got to believe in hell, because the same book talks about all those things.
Right.
And you can't pick and choose out of the Bible. If it's all inspired, well, you mentioned 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. If it's all inspired, we got to pay attention to all of it. All of it. And all means there, not all or all list, all means all, like you mentioned earlier. That's what we've got to be. And Theron, you look like you want to say something. Is
no,
that,
I'm, okay. just, I'm just, I'm just, I'm filling myself with all this great commentary.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, you know, again, you said we are eternal. That's true. In the Genesis account of creation, God made man in his image. God is.
Yes.
God isn't, was, or later on, God, he says, I'm the great I am. He always has been. And so we need to understand that from the time of conception, I am eternal. And I throw this out to people sometimes, they get depressed and say, well, you know, suicide is a way out. Suicide is not a way out, because the suicide just takes away the life in this body, but you're still living on. You're eternal. The scripture says we're eternal. And so there's no getting away from that. And so God's word is, it gives a solution to every problem in our life. If we're just willing to submit our will to the will of God, like you say, the open book test that we have here. If I'm willing to comply with the terms of the test, I can live a happy life on earth and be assured, as Apostle Paul says, I fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, I finished the course. Henceforth, the crown of righteousness left is for me, And not to me only, he says, but to all them that will love the appearing of the Lord. That's what he says over in 2 Timothy. And so we need to have that great understanding of the Apostle Paul. He didn't say, well, you know, I might make it to heaven, or I sure hope by the skin of the teeth. Paul says, he says, the crown of righteousness is waiting for me. How did he have that assurance?
Why is that?
Because he was following God's plan. If I will do the same thing, I don't have to have doubts. Well, I wonder if I'll make it to heaven, because Paul says that crown is waiting for us. God says it's waiting for you. If you will do what I say, by my love, grace, and mercy, I will give you heaven. You don't deserve it, but I will give that to you because you've complied with what I've asked you to do as my child.
And Paul knew that.
Sure.
And Paul, you know, Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. He never forgot where he came from.
Yep.
But it all started, you know, Acts 22 and verse 16. You know, why do you wait? Arise and wash away your sins. That's how it happens, folks.
Right.
And I wish there was an easy way. And I don't expect 1 hour long radio show to fix somebody, but hopefully to get them started in the right direction. You know, Hebrews 6. We talk about if you claim to believe in Jesus. And you claim to believe in the crucifixion and the resurrection, which again, that's the pivotal point in all of mankind's history, is did the resurrection occur or not? That people can argue, but we know Jesus walked on the earth. The question is, was he resurrected? Well, I think I can do a show sometime and I think prove that it was resurrected by just what the Jews did to prevent so that nobody could take his body. They proved it was the resurrection.
Yeah.
But Hebrews 6 and 4 through 6, is that the right, am I thinking of the right? No, yeah. It says, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, and to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. That's what we do when we sin. We crucify again the Son of God. We spit in his face.
Drive the nails in.
We just drive the nails right in. And that, we've got to think about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people think, well, I can do this and nobody knows. That, you know, the sin of pornography we've got going on right now that's just eating people alive. Well, they can fake that one. I mean, they can go to church and they can sit there in the pews and they can pretend to be Christians. Yeah. And they go right back home to it and continue it. And supposedly nobody knows. Yeah, they do. God knows. And it's going to eat you alive. Every sin will eat you alive until you deal with it.
Yeah.
We cannot intend to sin and expect to be happy in this life.
Right.
It just isn't going to happen. And you want evidence of that? Look at people's lives. Look at people's lives who are out there. Why am I here? Who am I? What am I supposed to be? Those answers are all there for us. But when people don't know where to find those answers, they spend their lives in drugs and alcohol and whatever, and sex, whatever else they can find, trying to make themselves feel better, and nothing ever works because they need God in their lives. I've heard somebody say that everybody's got a God-sized hole in their heart, and the only thing they fill it with is God. Until that is filled, we're never going to be happy. And I think when I look around at my family and the people I'm around, I'm a school teacher. I've been teaching for 28 years. I've seen some messes because there's no God.
Right.
We've got to put God back in our lives in order to fix this problem. But anyway, I don't know what time. Oh, look at that. We've got a minute and a half.
One other point I wanted to bring up, and that is the idea of the great magnanimity of God and where he is and seeing everything.
That's a big word, brother.
Right. I should have tried a smaller term. I just word. But anyway, an old time, the first preacher I remembered from years ago, and that's dating me because I'm 68 years old, so this preacher was...
You're old.
I'm old. So anyway, this preacher, but he said... We need to read Psalm 139 once a week.
Oh, yeah.
Psalm 139 asks the question, where can I go from the presence of God? Can I go up into heaven? Can I go into the sea? Where do I go? And that chapter continues on to say that before my days came upon this earth, God knew the number of them. God knew me before I was ever conceived. He knew my end. And I read those verses and I think, I wish I could just be in heaven for 30 seconds and look at that book of life and see what the end of my story is. Well, I have heaven or hell, and kind of like the Ebenezer Scrooge story. Well, you know, if I knew what was going to happen in the future, well, I repent and I'm going to do it. But you see, we can't see that. God knows my end before the beginning. But guess what? We've been talking this morning. God's Word, the Bible, is the open book information we need so that we can avoid that stress and strain in our life. We can be happy as we walk this life, and we can leave this world.
You just mentioned something. Can we be assured? I've sang the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Can we be assured? You just said, do I end up in heaven or hell?
Paul said that in 2
Can we be assured of that?
Yes.
And so the reason I bring that up is if you're out there and you're wondering, well, how do I know? You follow the rule book. That's it. When Paul says in the Corinthian letters, and he says it more than once, if you want to know what it is to live a Christian life, look at my life. Look at what I've done.
Right.
Jesus and John 13, 34 and 35, this new commandment I give you, you know, you love like I've loved. When that is our intent, when we make that our purpose, we're going to be okay. We can be assured of our place with God, but we've got to know his plan. And that's where I think we're falling. I think that's this lie people are told, that all you got to do is believe. I think that lie, Satan has I think been really successful in spreading that one more than anything else. All you got to do is believe and you're going to be okay. That is the biggest lie that's being taught right now, predestination and faith only. Folks, none of that is true. But we got to know what the word says about that. And I know we're out of time on our hours. Anything you want to say?
Sean said we could go on.
Yeah, I know.
One final point I'd like to bring that you just brought to my mind. That is, Paul told the Corinthians that the Holy Spirit dwells in us as God's people.
Yes.
We are a temple of God.
Yeah,
the Holy
Colossians,
Spirit dwells. Yes. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of all these blessings that we find in the Scripture. So if I'm a child of God, if I put on Christ, if I let the blood of Christ cleanse my sins away through the act of baptism, I'm living my life according to this book. The Holy Spirit will live in me, and he will cause me to grow and be the person that I need to be.
Yep.
But again, if I let sin reign in my life, the Holy Spirit's out of there.
Yep.
So it's up to you and me. Do I want the Spirit to dwell in me?
You got an amen.
Okay.
From Brenda. Brenda gives you an amen.
Excellent.
So, all right.
Look, we got to quit. I could do this all day, but
an hour and 20 minutes is what a CD holds. So
if you
keep going,
if you want to continue the talk, I'll be talking about embracing God's grace Sunday morning at El Bethel, Titus 2. We're going to talk about that. If you wanna come in there and study with us, we'd love to have you. If you're closer to Louisville, get a hold of Theron at Eastside, or is it Eastland over there?
Yeah,
and look, I keep saying this. I'm not concerned about building a church. I'm not concerned about numbers at El Bethel. They are a concern for everybody. We want numbers, but it's more important that we build the church, not a church. So we want to help everybody everywhere. So this CD or this, if you're on Facebook, I don't care where you are, get a hold of me, 812-620-4034 is my cell. I will find you somebody to study with. As soon as I get my phone back off the stand that they're using for Facebook Live.
Now, I would be glad to have a study with someone.
And we absolutely love everybody. I don't want anybody to be where I was. I don't want anybody asking, what's my purpose in life? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Those answers are all out there for us. So we got to get out of here. El Bethel, 9:30 Bible study, Sunday morning, 10:30 worship, and on Wednesday at 7 at the little building over the hill from the building, we just sat down kitchen table style, as Dan Langford put it, and studied the Bible. We open it up and read it and are honest with it, and we have some good discussions and try to work our way through that. We love you. We thank you. And come back. I'll be back next week, and we'll continue our discussion of God's Word. And I'm begging you, imploring you, just to let the Bible speak.